As lawmakers re-debate the new health care law, states are moving forward with it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in just a moment. First, here in the United States, debate could start today in the House of Representatives on a bill to repeal the nation's new health care law. The effort comes just as the Congressional Budget Office released an estimate that says doing away with the law would add $230 billion to the deficit within the next decade and result in 32 million fewer people having health insurance. Now, Republicans dispute those numbers. Despite all the talk in Washington, though, state governors are moving ahead to implement the law. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
The repeal rhetoric was flying on Capitol Hill yesterday. New House Speaker John Boehner.
I think it's pretty clear to the American people that the best health care system in the world is going to go down the drain if we don't act.
But even if the House repeals the health care law, the Senate is unlikely to follow suit. And President Obama is standing by with his veto pen. So states are getting down to the business of implementing the law. Even Republican governors who campaigned against the health care overhaul are now applying for federal grants to put it into effect. Leighton Koo teaches health policy at George Washington University. He says they're discovering the difference between campaigning and governing.
It's one thing for politicians to say, this is what how I'd like to see things changed, but that is different than recognizing this is what I have to do right now under the existing law.
The health care law gives the states lots of responsibilities, like setting up exchanges where consumers can buy health insurance. And if the states don't implement the law, the feds will do it for them. Not an appealing prospect for independent-minded governors. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Now, the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Staying on the healthcare theme, too, but moving over to China, where a new report says that country's annual death toll from smoking could triple over the next two decades. The biggest obstacle in preventing those deaths? The Chinese government itself. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The report comes just a couple of days before a World Health Organization deadline China agreed to that aims to ban smoking in all indoor public spaces, workplaces, and public transportation by this Sunday. But as of Friday at my favorite noodle shop in Shanghai, most of my fellow patrons were puffing away, making the place look like a sauna, and doing a number on my lungs. China has obviously fallen short with the smoking ban, which was supposed to outlaw cigarette advertising, too. Health advocates say the $90 billion tobacco industry is too lucrative for China's state-owned enterprises for Beijing to do anything to solve the problem. Dr. Sarah England of the World Health Organization is trying to convince Beijing otherwise.
The tax revenue from tobacco is only half the economic argument. There's also the other side of the coin, which is the productivity impact, the medical costs.
But with the median price of a pack of cigarettes in China at 76 cents, when it comes to a ban, few here are holding their breath, unless they're non-smokers in a room full of smoke. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly lower at the moment. In Europe, investors are digesting new third-quarter data that show the economy and the countries that use the euro didn't grow as much as expected. A mixed bag on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow fell 25 points to end the day at 11,697.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
Like most of Europe, Romania faces major budget cuts in a tough economic environment. The government plans to make up some of that shortfall by bringing in higher and new kinds of taxes. The Romanian president has even proposed including the profession of witchcraft in that country's new tax code, and that has brewed a whole lot of controversy there. Witches from all corners of Romania have gathered to curse the government for the idea. The BBC Central Europe correspondent Rob Cameron joins us. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning to you.
So what exactly did the witches do to wreak their vengeance on the politicians in Romania?
Well, what they did was they gathered on the shore of the Danube River and they hurled mandrake, which is a poisonous herb whose root can resemble a human being, into the river, all the while uttering dark incantations. Mm-hmm. And they're so angry because under this new law, they'll have to pay 16% tax plus social security contributions on their earnings. That's along with fortune tellers and, bizarrely, driving instructors, although they weren't at the protest.
Is this a universal reaction, Rob? I mean, are all the witches across Romania reacting like this?
Well, not all of them, no. Some say that being completely legal taxpayers gives them the recognition they've long deserved and so craved. Mihela Mincea is one young witch who actually wants to pay tax.
From my point of view, this law adopted now is very good, and I'm very happy because the Romanian government considered that our magic skills, which are recognized and accepted worldwide, are now authorized in Romania too.
So they have credibility, in other words. Is this a big deal? I mean, how popular is witchcraft in Romania, Rob?
Well, this is, of course, the country that gave us Dracula. Certainly some older people, I think, out in the villages in Transylvania do believe in the power of curses. Even the president, it is said, sometimes wears purple to ward off evil spirits.
The BBC's Rob Cameron in Prague. Rob, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And finally, I came across a blog this morning on the website Boing Boing. Writer and producer Andrea James touts the benefits of doing away with the alarm clock, that if you go to bed at a reasonable hour, your body will wake you up just in time for work or school, even for your morning airline flight. No technological help necessary. Thanks, Andrea, for the suggestion. I'm sure this would work, or could work, for a lot of people. It works for you. But as someone who comes to work hours before the rooster crows, I'm going to keep my 5 alarms handy just in case. Otherwise, I'd probably be asleep right now. I'm Steve Chiatakis at 3:58 a.m. in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Reward offered for information leading to the recovery of a certain piece of heavy-duty construction equipment.
Here's the loader right here, 624 John Deere loader. They stole that machine, and it was there Saturday. Came back Monday morning, it was gone.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, John Deere Bandits. Next time on Marketplace, that and the day's business news from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.